Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Listen Now, the podcast where we go through the most important rockin'est albums of all time. This season, which we're starting today, we're focusing on albums from the 1980s. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Sam Tonkin. Welcome, Sam.
Welcome, Matt. G'day, bloody g'day.
So good to be back in the Listen Now studios.
Yes, it is. How are you? How are you doing? How's life?
I'm all right. I've been listening to some great 80s tunes lately.
Some rock albums.
Getting ready for, yeah. I mean, this season, it's not all just hard rock like it was with season one and Cold Chisel. I mean, they even inside Cold Chisel, they hit so many different genres anyway. There was obviously a little bit of rockabilly.
Rockabilly.
Bit of reggae. But, yeah, I think we're going to be tracking over similar territory this season.
Excellent.
From what I've seen. I've been trying not to look too far ahead.
Oh, yeah.
I've got it all ranked down.
Only Matt knows what's coming.
Got it in a spreadsheet and I'm just sort of squint at it when I look just to see the next couple of weeks.
Is that because you're trying to not read anything or because you need glasses?
Well, both, yeah. Yep.
Good.
But anyway, I'm excited today. We're going to be talking about Huey Lewis and the News' classic album, their third album, Sports.
Sports.
Did you have much of a relationship with Huey growing up?
Look, I've never met him, per se, but,
your loss.
I mean,
great guy.
Do you know him?
Well, I've been watching a lot of interviews with him, the last week or so, and he does seem really cool.
So you basically know him.
I want to. It's a one-way relationship at this stage.
You know, reciprocal, is that what it is? Unrequited. Why am I,
It's not reciprocal.
Thank you.
Not reciprocated.
Episode
Huey,
one and we're Huey already
Huey and Stewie,
battling.
Imagine.
What a duo.
We could make a
what
great
a
team. Huey, Stewie, and Dewey.
Wasn't that the Donald Duck's nephews?
Nephews, yeah. That's us.
Excellent. The only strong knowledge I had of Huey Lewis was Hip to Be a Square when it was on Sesame Street.
Okay.
I was but a child.
They sang it Hip to Be a Square.
Yep.
But
they changed the lyrics for Sesame Street
to
be about describing shapes.
Amazing.
That's how I learned what a square was. Thanks, Huey Lewis.
That's pretty clever.
And
four sides, all the same.
Yeah.
Well, he's done great work there. I had a similar thing probably in a way to Cold Chisel. My dad had the Huey Lewis and the Greatest Hits CD at home, which came out in the early 90s, I think. And, so I knew the hits growing up very well. They got played a bit around the house.
Was your whole growing up just greatest hits albums?
Yeah, Dad was a big greatest hits lover.
Love that.
For sure.
Love that.
I mean, I think he still has a lot of his old vinyl probably somewhere. He got rid of it a lot, I think. But in the CD era, he was already a greatest hits guy,
nice.
Which is sort of when you're crossing over into the
middle. It is.
You
don't know if CDs are going to stick around.
Yeah.
Vinyl was all the rage.
You don't want to commit to buying the whole back catalogs.
No.
Let's just get the greatest hits.
Exactly.
And I just want to reminisce about the hits.
Yeah, I don't want to listen to this other shit.
I don't want any deep cuts.
Yeah.
I'm still in the deep cut
era. So far in the deep cuts.
But so which is part of the fun. That's, I guess, one of the reasons we chose to do albums, classic albums rather than greatest hits this season.
Yeah.
Because we love some of those album tracks. I think that's part of the fun going through old albums or new albums.
Hearing hidden tracks that your average listener may not have heard before.
Yeah. Pretty much you have to be very cool to be into Listen Now and the sort of stuff we do. Huey Lewis albums.
I like to think
it's pretty cool stuff. So I knew his hits growing up, but also one of my all-time favorite films, which came out in, I think, in the mid-80s. I wouldn't have seen it till probably into the early 90s, but it was Back to the Future, and he has a little cameo on that, and he wrote a song for it as well, Power of Love, which came out soon after Sports. The Sports was a runaway success, which lasted for a couple of years, and that basically landed straight into the Power of Love and then their follow-up album. They were just one of the biggest bands in America for a big chunk of the mid-80s.
Jesus.
From like 83 right through to most to the end of the 80s, I think. They burnt
solid
bright.
6 years.
Yeah. Yeah, three big hit albums. Anyway, you've written a little something about them let people in if they don't know Huey.
I've got a little bit of a history lesson for you. So Huey Lewis, our main man, was actually born Hugh Anthony Craig III.
Such a great name.
The Third.
I mean, I would not have taken a stage name if I had a name. Hugh Craig.
We call my dad Craig.
Yeah.
His name's Craig.
Well, after Huey Craig III.
Huey Craig is 10 years older than dad, so.
Yeah.
You know, dad's got a. Does that make him Craig IV?
Yeah, Craig IV.
That is maths.
Yeah, continuing the line along.
Yeah. Yep.
Huey Lewis, very potent man. He had a child at the age of 10.
Amazing.
And that man was your dad.
Oh, you're welcome, Craig. So his dad was Irish, but from Boston, and his mum was Polish, which is pretty cool. Grew up in California. He actually skipped the second grade and in 1967 achieved a perfect score of 800 on the math portion of the SAT.
Yeah, so he's a super smart man.
A real smart dude. Bit of Don Walker about him, one might say.
Yeah.
But he was also an All-State baseball player.
Yeah, so.
Wild.
He had the brains, he had the brawn. Is there anything Huey can't do?
Apparently no. Can't be the first of being Craig's. That's all he can't do.
He did the big three. He did music, sport, and academics. He could do it all.
Yeah, because then he went on to Cornell to do engineering.
So he just turned 16 and he got into Cornell. I watched an interview with him from the 80s when the album After Sports came out, Four, which is their fourth album. Bit of fun there.
Does anything on either of those albums actually talk about sport?
I don't think so. So you know why they picked the name Sports is because of sort of a play on how they're the news and sports.
And it seems just, so obvious now that you've said it.
And there's an album came out in 2019 called Weather.
Nice.
News, sports and weather. It's a good fun. They're just having a bit of fun.
Bit of punny fun.
Is that punny? I guess it
is. I don't know.
I don't understand.
I don't know what a pun is.
I don't know what a pun is either.
Right in at Listen Now Pod, teach us a thing about English.
You forgot the back end of that email address, but gmail.com.
Well, I was thinking on the socials.
On the socials.
Would just be. Anyway, you know where to contact us.
I think they're going to need more room to move than the 140 Twitter characters to explain a pun.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
No one's been able to explain it to me yet, and I'm asking everyone. I've Googled it.
Please.
The internet's got confusing answers.
Dear Mr. Google.
So he got into Cornell, which I believe is a pretty good university.
I think it's pretty decent.
He was just 16. So he was telling this story on this old David Letterman clip.
Mm.
And he was so charming on that. Oh my goodness. Yes.
So definitely one of your best mates.
Yeah. And Letterman was great back then as well. Had the passion. I think he might have lost it in later years. But he talked about how he didn't know what he wanted to do. He's like, I was a kid. I had no idea. The guidance counselor said, you're pretty good at maths. Maybe you should be an engineer. And he's like, all right. And then so that's why he was 16. He's like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then his dad said to him, apparently, I just got to do one thing for me before you go off to uni at 16 to do engineering at Cornell. He said, I need you to go take a year off and hitchhike around Europe. So that's what he did.
What the hell kind of advice is that for a 16-year-old? Man, those days were so...
What a wild time.
If you told your kid that now, child abuse people would be coming at you being like, are you...
That's amazing. But,
real?
But then he learned how to play harmonica over there, and that's what got him started in music.
Yeah. Well, he talks about, learning to play harmonica while he's waiting for rides and all that. And he's also talked about in interviews hanging out at an airport for 3 days, and then stowed away on a plane to Europe.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
That is pretty wild.
He
earned money to fly home with busking with his
harmonica.
Yeah.
So he talks about, like, during his Europe trip, he was in Scotland, had no money, nowhere to sleep, but locals were really hospitable and just kind of sorted him out. And then he went to Madrid, became an accomplished blues player, and then supported himself by busking with his harmonica, gave his first concerts, and earned enough money to buy a plane ticket back to the US.
He said his favorite country backpacking was Yugoslavia.
That doesn't exist anymore, does it?
No. Sorry about that, Huey, if you're listening.
Oh, Devo.
It might come as bad news to you.
Bad news.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, no, 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 no. Please don't. They're never on purpose.
But, yeah, then he came back to the US after, you know, just living his best life, paying for his...
As a child on the road.
A literal fucking child. I can't...
Genius child.
I know, what a bastard. Went back to his engineering program at Cornell and made friends with a couple of blokes who ended up in other bands called Orleans and King Harvest, which are definitely like
too big.
Feathers.
Yeah.
Bands that I've heard of before.
Big bands.
Mm. So he was also actually part of a fraternity, which was interesting.
Toga.
And initially was an active student, but lost interest pretty quick and signed up with a band called Slippery Elm. And during his junior year, dropped out of Cornell, moved back to the San Francisco Bay Area with his aim to continue playing music. But along the way, because he was such a smart bastard, also tried his hand at landscaping, carpentry, wedding and event planning,
what
as well
freak.
As delivering and selling natural foods.
That's amazing.
Like, just, he's like, you know
just
what?
Just have a go at everything.
I feel at the age of, what, 20, I would like to drop out of my engineering course at Cornell.
Where I'm also playing baseball at a high level.
And I'm just going to try about 8 different careers at once and probably succeed at them because apparently he's good at everything.
Should say he's also a big stud. So
is he?
If you're wondering, he can't have everything. He's obviously a bit ugly. Well, unfortunately not. He's also an absolute knockout.
What a that poor man. He must be so bloody living a tough life. Oh yeah, no, he's pretty good looking. Damn it.
You didn't know what he looked like.
No, well, I've just been looking at recent pictures where he looks old man. But
I mean, he's old hot still.
God, he's got some height in his hair in the old days.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a solid bum chin.
Oh, you've seen the news as well. Got some very slick, well-conditioned mullets as well.
Oh, I do love a well-conditioned mullet. Do you still have your mullet?
It's a mini mullet.
Are you growing it again or are you just maintaining its length?
Just pruned it back for the winter.
That's nice. Got to keep the neck warm, but you don't want to brush it too much.
Yeah.
You know?
So this is all leading up to, he hasn't formed the news yet, but before he formed the news, he had another band that did okay.
A Bay Area jazz funk band.
What were they called again?
Clover.
Clover. And they got a call up. They, an English music man, a producer or something, saw them play at a club in California and he flew them over to England, and the idea was that there was it was just before punk had broken, unfortunately,
yeah.
And they got, their timing was unfortunate. Punk broke, and their sort of style of rock was not cool at the
yet.
Time. So they never quite made it like it was hoped that they would over there. But they put out a few albums and had, you know, some minor success.
Yeah.
Like Huey said to Letterman, do you have any hits? He said, no hits. We made some good albums, just no hits. And then that band recorded, they were the backing band for Elvis Costello on his first album.
Correct.
But apparently Huey Lewis, Costello said to him, loved you to play harmonica on a couple of tracks, and Huey chose to go on a holiday instead with his girlfriend.
Wow. That's a bit of a
guess you never know that an album's going to be an all-time classic when you
far out.
You choose love.
I also just liked the little note at the end that said Lewis worked with Thin Lizzy.
Oh, yeah.
Who, Boys Are Back in Town, is one of my current favourite songs. I didn't realise they were Irish, though.
Yeah, very Irish.
Wow.
I don't know how you become very Irish, but they are Irish. That's how they're very Irish. They're from Ireland. Irish. Yeah.
That's funny then. Where are we up to? So they ended up returning to the Bay Area by the end of the 70s. So pretty much, yeah, as punk was gone wild, they were like, yeah, nah, not our scene. Back home we go. And then I think there was a whole bunch of, there was another band in the Bay Area at the time, the jazz funk scene, called Soundhole. And eventually those two bands kind of split, and then some of their members reformed to form a new group called Huey Lewis and the American Express, where they played a bunch of gigs under that name. And in 1979, I'm out of breath all of a sudden, don't know what's going on. They recorded and released a single just under the name American Express. They were eventually joined by the lead guitarist, Chris Hayes, moved to Chrysalis Records, but the manager there decided American Express was not a great name because of fear of trademark infringements.
Yes.
And I would assume
there's a credit card company.
Yes. And I would assume that a credit card company would have plenty of moolah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be happy to be associated with Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis.
Did you see that he changed the spelling of his name a bunch?
Numerous times.
The way he spelt Huey and the way he spelt Lewis, he changed that slowly more.
Huey Lugluses. All the different spellings.
Silent G's though, Sam. It's not Huey.
I'm pretty sure
maybe it was.
I'm pretty sure that's
I say that like I know.
Pronounce it. Huey and the News. Later in the 80s, or 1980, I should say, they released their first studio album, a self-titled LP, Huey Lewis and the News. Self-titled, yes. It pretty much went unnoticed and released their second studio album in 82 called Picture This. It turned gold, fueled by the breakout success of the single Do You Believe in Love, which was actually written by a former Clover producer. Right. Do you know that song?
Yeah.
How's it go? I just keep thinking of Cher.
Why don't I bloody play some of it instead of me trying to sing it?
I don't know. I think the listeners would be all over it.
What did you want to hear? Do You Believe in Love?
By Huey Lewis.
Let me find it.
And the Nugs.
With no bloody warning at all, Sam. I mean,
I was just hoping you'd sing it for us, but here we are.
It's a banger. And this is a classic Huey sound. Wondering. The News backing him every set of the way. On a one-way street.
I don't think I know this.
The film clip is Huey Lewis and the News.
Excellent.
Surrounding a woman in bed sleeping and singing this to her. It's real creepy.
That's that probably wouldn't fly these days, I reckon.
Wondering. I don't wanna be lonely, baby.
So they're saying I don't wanna be lonely while they're surrounding.
I wanna love you all over.
Oh, I do know this. This is some real 80s shit, isn't it?
Yeah. We sort of, yeah, they, I mean, it's a kind of an old school sound mixed with 80s production, right? That's kind of the idea. It's like 50s-ish songwriting.
That's a lot of their music, as I was flicking through it all. It's got that real, like, doo-wop kind of.
Yeah. I mean, they literally doo-wop in songs. They'll sing doo-wop.
I wrote on one of the songs from the album that we're actually going to talk about today, eventually. All I wrote was doo-wop.
Doo-wop, yeah.
Because they literally say doo-wop.
They love to doo-wop.
I also love to doo-wop.
So, yeah, that was a big hit. That was maybe even a top 10 hit in America.
The single, I don't know, actually. The album peaked at number 13 and stayed on the charts for 35 weeks in the Billboard 200s.
It made number 7 in America, number 18 in Australia.
Nice.
And 14 in Canada. So it was a hit around the world. Not everywhere, but it was a hit in, you know, the places that matter, Australia and New Zealand at 36, yes. didn't chart in the UK where Huey had spent a little bit of time.
Yeah, that's okay.
So that was a big one, Do You Believe in Love. And there were, oh, Hope You Love Me Like You Say You Do.
That one I don't know, but Working for a Living.
Yeah, Working for a Living. So they would all be on the greatest hits that I grew up with. So that's why I know those songs. I listened to that album as well a couple of times this week. And, I recognize a few of the tracks off it. The one that I was most familiar with was Four, their fourth album. Which is what's got Hip to Be Square.
Yep.
But yeah, that was jam packed with hits and was a higher charting album and had higher charting tracks in Australia, like Stuck With You, Hip to Be Square, and such things. Jacob's Ladder. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Four. Maybe we'll do that at a later date.
Well, since we are talking about sports, let me tell you about sports.
Okay.
So they were floating. They were floating pretty high on the success of the previous album.
Well, in a different interview I heard Huey on, he mentioned that it sold about 250,000 copies in America and had some top 10 hits, had a top 10 hit. And apparently in the 80s, that was about break-even level.
He's Are you like, kidding?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So he goes, we really needed hits on the next album.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they got them, but it was a bit of a slog apparently because there was some record label delays on Sports, on the third studio album, and it pretty much took them back to square one in the late 83. And they had to go back to touring small clubs in a bus to promote the record, which ended up being known as the Working for a Living Tour. But when the album was finally released, it hit number 6 in the US and slowly became a number 1 hit in 1984, went multi-platinum in 85. And that was all due really to the frequent touring of the band as well as a series of videos. So all of their singles that they released, they also released some pretty good film clips with them, which played heavily on MTV.
Right.
Which is, you know, you think of it nowadays, you assume that a film clip's going to come out, but probably back in the 80s when MTV was relatively new.
Yeah.
The idea of making a film clip with it.
And that,
like, it's just extra marketing, isn't it?
So apparently Huey really took the reins, and the news, they took the reins on making those clips. They didn't love the one where they were singing around that woman in bed from the last
album. That's good. That's nice.
So they took it over and started making some pretty funny film clips, including, what was the one? I think it was one of the lead tracks from Sports. But maybe it was If This Is It or whatever it was. They were down at the beach and there's this sort of famous shot where all the news are buried up to their neck, singing along with Huey lying behind them.
I think that's the If This Is It.
If This Is It, yeah, great. Great stuff.
If This Is It.
We'll go through all the tracks shortly. I've got a little article here that reviews it and gives a little snippet of each and we'll play them and talk about our thoughts on them.
Beautiful.
Have you got much more to say about this album?
Not particularly. What else we got? Just a fun little note on the side is that they were in the All-Star We Are the World and Huey Lewis had a solo part in it.
Yes.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
So I listened to a podcast this week in preparation. Huey was a guest on it. It was called Huey Talking Huey Tooey Me. do you know Adam Scott, the actor?
Yes.
Adam Scott and Scott Aukerman, a comedian and podcaster. They had a podcast together about the albums of U2 called You Talking U2 to Me.
Oh, I have heard of that.
And then they did a season about REM. And then they just did a one-off episode about, I've listened to a bit of the U2 one.
Yeah.
And it's great. And they've just started a new one about Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Nice.
But anyway, they did a one-off episode with Jimmy Kimmel and Huey Lewis. Jimmy Kimmel's like one of Huey Lewis's best mates. He grew up as a huge fan and then they've ended up anyway, it's really good. I'll put a link in the show notes if you're keen. And it's just another example of Huey's just being a real cool, nice guy. But what was my point?
listening to about the We Are the World. You were listening to
the podcast? So he told the story of that on that podcast on Huey Talking Huey Tooey Me. And he said apparently, who was it? I think Prince was meant to do the line and he didn't show up. So Huey got it at the last second. And he told a story of how it was all in one take. If anyone stuffed up their line, they had to do it all again.
Oh.
And it was like towards the back end of the line.
Oh.
So they'd stop, and the first few guys would get all these shots at it because they'd have a few, you know, one, two, and three would do it. Number four would stuff up.
Yep.
So they'd start again. So one, two, and three just had a practice run at it. And they go in, and Huey's sitting down the end waiting for his turn, not getting a shot. So by the time he gets to him, he'll be like, oh, this is all on me to nail it first go. But anyway, they ended up, I think it only took, it took him a take or two, and they nailed it.
So nice. Then
you've just cut your first hit record. Not true, but it was a big hit, I believe. I don't know what his line was. I can't even really
I'll find it. I'll put it on the socials.
Oh, great. So should we start going through this track by track?
Yes. Yes, we should.
Because, I mean, it's a 9-track album. It's all killer, no filler. That's something that he talked about on You Talking Huey to Me. He said, he goes, we really needed some hits on this album. We didn't know what kind of style it would be. So there's a lot of different sort of styles we tried. And, we just tried pretty much try to write a bunch of hits. And
it's not often that I think bands particularly admit to that, though.
Like, yeah, it's interesting,
it's
isn't it?
It's like a bit of a sellout kind of label comes with it.
But it's hard to write hit songs. And he wrote that. Well, he didn't write them all.
Four off this album.
There's five hits. Oh, off five of nine songs on this are hits.
Not bad. Not bad.
He didn't write them all. I think. Couple written by others. But anyway, let's go through them track by track. So I found an article here on classicrockreview.com, which we'll link in the show notes as well, which is a bit of a review. It says, recording for Sports began immediately after the completion of Picture This, with producer Bill Seismic assisting in production. Due to the reorganization of Chrysalis, the band employed the strategy of holding back the master tapes and biding their time performing at small venues while the label got their affairs in order and we're in a position to fully promote the album. That's pretty smart. It's just they were pretty wily, I think, as a band. They'd been around for a while as well.
Yeah.
Like Huey had been in Clover for 7 years and, released albums.
Oh,
this is their third album of Huey Lewis and the News. So he'd been around a bit and he'd learned a few lessons. So I think that was obviously pretty smart.
He knew a bit of what's what.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So the opening track, The Heart of Rock and Roll, starts the album with a thumping. I'll get it playing because it does. We talk about it in season one. We love a big album opener.
We do.
And I think this album got it done.
Do you know what this, before we kick it off, this intro made me think of immediately?
What's that?
Van Halen's Why Can't This Be Love.
Oh, yeah. It's got a bit of that, the heartbeat.
With Sammy Hagar.
Which came out after this. So
it
I wonder
did.
If that, this inspired Sammy. So the review says, The Heart of Rock and Roll starts the album with a thumping heartbeat sound to launch the thematic, albeit somewhat tacky, anthem. Musically, it employs the faux 80s funk rock that permeates this album that worked well in the mid-80s pop scene. I think it's a cracking tune.
You know what? His vocals are also some David Lee Roth about him. Don't you reckon?
Yeah.
But again, David Lee Roth would have been...
Oh, no.
Van Halen similar time?
Started
it. Were they 70s or 80s?
Yeah, they started in the 70s.
Sure. Do you reckon it's got some David Lee Roth about it?
Yeah, I guess there is a little bit. Oh, that's that bit later when he gets stuck That's good stuff.
What is the heart of rock and roll?
Oh, it's still beating. I know that. And I love a song that goes through a bunch of different cities or places in the world.
I'm
going to
look up the lyrics.
It's interesting because rock and roll was only invented really 30 years before this. So it's funny to think of it like he's gone.
Oh, yeah.
The old boys barely breathing. It's like the equivalent of a genre that was created in, 1990. It was basically, it's the same, rock and roll for him in the 80s was grunge for us in the 90s.
Oh.
And it's fair to say that the heart of grunge is not really still me.
Yes. Sad, but yes. The heart of rock and roll. So that song peaked at, it was actually the third single from the album, peaked at number 6 on the US billboards.
Right. Great.
They also, fun fact, they lost to ZZ Top's Legs for best group video and also lost to Tina Turner's What's Love Got to Do With It in the record of the year. And later on it was voted one of the 50 worst songs ever.
Get out of it. I mean, they just...
Savage.
Yeah, that's people being brutal. That's tall poppy syndrome kicking in.
I think Huey Lewis even said it was some pretty cheesy lyrics later on.
Is there something inherently wrong with cheese?
No, that's a good point, actually.
There's a place for cheese.
All right. Blender magazine, who wrote that article that definitely people read.
Yeah, fuck off, Blender. All right, track 2. I think I like what I like about Listen Now is this is a positive place.
Yeah.
It's so fucking easy to just shit on stuff. You do it in a relatively fun way, at least. That's track 2, amazing. Another big hit, Heart and Soul. This one's so 80s.
So 80s. This is also a cover. This isn't theirs.
Is it a cover or is it just written for them by someone else?
No, I think, Exile is the band who wrote it, who people my age will know potentially because of Happy Gilmore, when Adam Sandler's singing into the intercom, I wanna kiss you all over.
It's one of my favorite also by Exile. Films as a kid.
Was it?
I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, so originally Exile released it and it did nothing, and then Huey Lewis released it.
Oh, there you go. I had no idea.
This was actually the first single from the album and peaked at number 8.
Right.
And was nominated for a Grammy in the category Rock Vocal Group.
Bloody hell.
Also, Cowbell.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's nice.
I got real excited when that kicked off.
Yeah, it's all... I mean, the keys are the most 80s thing of all time.
Oh, so 80s.
And then that riff's pretty chunky. But yeah.
It's damn catchy, this one.
Then track... So what does our reviewer say about this? He likes it more. Saying it's of a much higher quality overall. Co-written by Mike Chapman and Nicky Chin of the band Exile. This classic rocker uses a repeated riff, but with strategic arrangements throughout, including the midsection... where the deadened guitar and bass make for a simple but effective bridge.
Nice.
I've just found this article on Rolling Stone where it's an interview with Huey from Huey Lewis and the News.
Hughie?
Hugh Craig.
Hugh. Ah, yes.
The third. Sorry, in case you were thinking, which Hugh Craig? First, second, fourth?
Third.
Be any of those. But he was asked a question about the opening track, The Heart of Rock and Roll, and he said... We're from San Francisco, and we think it's the greatest place in the world. We had heard that Cleveland was this great rock and roll town. You know, it says Heart of Rock and Roll is in Cleveland?
Mm.
Or something like that.
Listen now, where we get our facts straight-ish.
The Heart of Rock and Roll is still beating, and from what I see, I believe him. And the old boy may be barely breathing, but the Heart of Rock and Roll is still beating in Cleveland.
Nice.
And then he goes to all these places or something.
Yes.
But he goes, we had heard that Cleveland was this great rock and roll town. I thought, Cleveland? How can Cleveland be anything?
Cleveland?
What can they have in Cleveland that we don't have in San Francisco?
Right.
Then we played a gig in Cleveland, I think at the Agora, around 1980. It was a great gig and the crowd was amazing. We're driving the next day and I'm looking out the gray skyline. I sort of absentmindedly say, you know, guys, the Heart of Rock and Roll really is in Cleveland. Then I thought, oh, my gosh, that's a great idea for a song. The other guy said, the Heart of Rock and Roll is in Cleveland. So then I rewrote it as the Heart of Rock and Roll is still beating. But that was the original idea.
Wow.
That's interesting. That's where it came from.
But did he ever find out what Cleveland had that they didn't?
Well, they had the heart of rock and roll.
Yeah, well, that's yeah.
Which is still beating.
It is
and still beating. And a grey skyline, apparently. So Heart and Soul is the second one, that cover you were talking about, which has blown my mind. Didn't know it was a cover.
Neither did I.
It's one of their real big hits, but I don't love it.
I don't particularly love it either, but it is so goddamn catchy.
I don't know what it is about it, because like song by song, I'm like, there's some of these I'm okay about.
Yeah.
But I like some 80s music, but some of that 80s production I find pretty grating.
Amazing.
And they got it coming out their ears. So it does make some of it a bit tricky. But I bloody love Huey.
Hughie.
I want to be his
My
friend.
My main man.
Huey, if you're listening, give me a call.
Huey, please.
So track number three, Bad is Bad.
Nice.
It's a modern doo-wop. This is back from Classic Rock Review. It's a modern doo-wop soul track with cool organ hopper, bluesy guitars by Hayes, and a potent harmonica solo by Lewis with lyrics that are both jocular and profound.
I have always thought of a harmonica solo as jocular. What does that mean?
No, the lyrics are jocular and profound, not the harmonica solo.
What is jocular?
The harmonica solo was potent.
Jocular, fond of or characterized by joking, humorous or playful.
The song was written in the late 1970s while Lewis was working with Phil Lynott and Thin Lizzy.
Fun Lizzy.
And that group did perform it live a few times half a decade before it was recorded for sports. So let's hear a bit of this. This is Bad is Bad.
Can we start an a cappella group?
Yes.
But everything is just doo-wop.
Doo-wop. Bad is bad, but sometimes, what is it? Sometimes cool is the rule, but sometimes bad is bad.
Is it?
Yeah. Cool is the rule.
I sing along with it, but not any ping. This sounds some sleazy. Went down to see my cousin. Nice.
Sometimes. The news are so smooth.
They are smooth as fuck.
They do a bit of a cappella. There's clips of them just standing around in a circle, a cappella, singing to each other.
Do all of them sing, or is it just a couple?
All
really?
Of them.
Oh, it's like cold chisel. All of the bastards.
So that's Bad is Bad. The next one's I Want a New Drug. This is a big one.
I will say in the last song, though, we didn't get there because I think it's much later, but the harmonica is fucking good.
Oh.
And I got real excited about it. You know how I feel about a harmonica.
You love a harmonica.
And it is a strong, good feeling.
Well, let me stop you right there. Because this is something you didn't mention, which I was sure you were going to. You know who played harmonica on Jimmy Barnes's Freight Train Heart?
No.
Yes,
really?
Huey Lewis.
How did that not?
I don't know.
How have we gotten to this point and we did
Isn't
not
that
know
wild?
That? That is in awe. Wow.
Isn't that amazing? That was an interesting thing to find out about. He's a front man, one of the biggest performers in the 80s, but he started as a harmonica player.
How did we, honest to God, not come across that until right now?
So first time listeners, season one, we talked about the band Cold Chisel, classic Aussie pub rock band.
Classiqua.
And their front man, Jimmy Barnes, released a solo album in the early to mid 80s. I think it was his second or third solo album, and it was called Freight Train Heart, and Huey Lewis played harmonica on it.
How the...
Wild scenes.
I'm sorry. I'm still like, my mind is blown. I'm trying to like find out which songs, what seconds was he on it.
Yeah.
How the fucking fuck? I am so taken by this.
It's fantastic news.
It is great news from Hughie.
Anyway, so we're up to I Want a New Drug. And this is from Classic Rock. It's another slightly clever theme. This is a brutal review. Why'd I pick this one? It's another slightly clever theme, which at once normalizes and demonizes drug use. Musically, there are dueling guitars over the simplest, cheesiest synth rhythm.
Wow.
A method later borrowed by Ray Parker Jr. for the Ghostbuster theme song. So yeah, so this song is the is what was ripped off to make the Ghostbusters theme. Settled out of court. He's not allowed to talk about it, but
I'll find a clip of that mashup and I'll put it on the socials as
Yeah, great.
But also about I Want a New Drug. It's funny that the commenter, who was it that just ripped it a little bit? That you just read?
This reviewer.
Yeah. Definitely not our man Zup, that's for sure.
Certainly not Zup. I don't know if they've put their name to it.
Wow.
It's classicrockreview.com.
Yep. With no name on it. Yep. No, okay. No. Real brave. Classic keyboard warriors. But Lewis, Hughie, said that it's a song about love, and the meaning of the word drug in the song was purposely open-ended. So it's really a love song. It's not a pro-drug song. It's not really even an anti-drug song. The word drug sort of gets your attention, but I think in love relationships, there's more than I want you or I need you kind of thing. He said he believed the definition of love was very open to interpretation depending on the listener. I think real love contains humor and anger and confusion, all those things. So it's not even about drugs, Mr. Anonymous.
Yeah, you clown. You've absolutely made a fool of yourself.
Cop that, dickhead.
Yeah, so it's... But yeah, so this song Ray Parker Jr. really strongly borrowed from. Huey Lewis was approached to do the theme for Ghostbusters, and he wasn't keen. And then apparently they went to Ray Parker Jr. and said, "We want a Huey Lewis like song." And then
he wrote a Huey Lewis certainly, type song.
That's a great theme, but it is I mean, Huey Lewis ended up making bit of money out of it because he just ripped it off. Anyhow, so this is the original of it. I Want a New Drug.
Ooh, what was that?
It's your phone making a fun sound.
Oh, that's great.
Unprofessional. Who are you going to call?
Hughie Lewis.
It's a fun, happy rip.
Oh, this is like... I want to be like driving down the beach in like a convertible.
Top down in the Bay Area, maybe.
That sounds ideal.
The guitarist is a shredder as well. I've seen a few live clips and
really?
He just like shreds for 10 minutes.
He sounds like he's just doing a real simple like do 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 do.
He's all over that fretboard. Wondering what to do.
Feeling I'm with you.
So that was a big hit. What was that? That was another one that was like number 7, something like that?
Yeah, I think so. For some reason I didn't write that down, but yes, I'm pretty sure it was.
I think it was another top 10 hit.
Big, large, huge.
Then the next track is Walking on a Thin Line, co-written by Andre Pesce and Kevin Wells of Clover. It starts with a haunting synth bass before breaking into an upbeat pop rocker with good melody and a semi-serious message about a Vietnam veteran's post-war stress. This is Walking on a Thin Line.
I saw a review by Christopher Connolly of Rolling Stone who said, well, he didn't particularly like it. But he says that Huey Lewis sings just like Men at Work's Colin Hay, which is funny because my note for the next song, I wrote Colin Hay vibes.
This album came out right when Men at Work were blowing up as well. Or just after, maybe. I think they were 83.
Yep.
Is this 83?
I think so. 84, maybe.
Oh, this is 84. Yeah, so this came out the year after Men at Work were huge.
Yep. Now, this song, I wouldn't call it a cum thumper.
No.
But Christopher Connolly has called it a semi-stomper.
Oh, okay.
Next door.
Yeah, I didn't know this one before listening to this one. It's a rock solid tune. It's a real 80s sort of anthem.
Yep.
You can picture it in a teen film.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think. Is this where, like, they're all starting to run towards the battle? And it's like a really like slow montage or something.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Thin Line. Then we've got Next one up is Finally Found a Home. He's not too positive about this one on this review. It says,
have you picked any positive ones?
Well, this is all off the same article.
Oh.
The song is sandwiched between the pop rock Boilerplate, Finally Found a Home.
What is
And the
Boilerplate?
Boilerplate is stock standard.
Oh.
So this is what they think of as a boilerplate.
Oh.
So quite a different vibe to the
very
other
very different. I was just trying to think, what does this remind me of?
This is just towards sort of 80s hard rocky.
Yeah.
Sort
of. Used to make me so better.
People always asking me. But yeah, this is another sort of stadium.
Yeah. Can it, audience is clapping.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is sort very Colin Hazy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. But I mean the vocal, yeah.
Yeah, the vocal, yes. I mean, the music,
song's
not
got
so
a
much.
Bit of a stadium rock kind of vibe.
It's made to be played large.
And the crowd sings along with the chorus. It's that kind of thing.
Do you know what this reminds me of, actually? I love that every song is, I'm like, reminds me of something else.
Yeah.
Reminds me of the Tarzan soundtrack that, trying to think of his name.
Phil Collins.
Yes,
Fabulous
thank you.
Phil.
Yep. It kind of sounds like those kind of songs that he wrote for Tarzan.
Oh, I'm sure he was heavily influenced by the work of the News.
I would like to think so.
and then the next one's another one of the maybe even the biggest hit off the album, if this is it.
Is this it?
That's what this next track is. It is If This Is It.
It is it.
It is. This is If This Is It.
This. Okay, so this is If It Is This is
no, this is If This Is It.
If this.
Big change up in tone. Just a ballady. Solely ballady.
Fourth single from the number one album, Sports. And it became their fifth top 10 and third consecutive number 6 hit on the Billboard Hot 100. It also reached number 5 on the Adult Contemporary chart. And became their first UK hit single, reaching the high number of 39.
Ah. So the UK never, doesn't sound like they fully got into them. Or at least not at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it.
Classic Rock Review likes a bit more. It says, it doesn't like the back half of the album, but says, the lone exception is the hit song, If This Is It, which features strong guitar. Strong guitar-driven rock elements, some doo-wop backing vocals, and fantastic lead vocals, melody, and chorus hook. This is right up there with his classic.
Yeah, this one I definitely knew.
I think a lot of people 30s and older would probably have picked it up along the way somewhere.
I'm not 30 yet, thank you very much.
30s-ish.
30s. We're within 40 days.
Then we got another one that this guy didn't like too much, but it's probably, I think it's one
like
of my
anything?
Favorites on the album. I'd never heard it before, but I think it's real fun. It's called You Crack Me Up.
Yeah, the last two
I didn't like.
Yeah, but both?
Both, great.
Well, I just don't remember them already.
The last one is a classic country song from the 40s, which I
is it
knew,
really?
Yes, but it's a Hank Williams song.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, this one's You Crack Me Up, which I'm pretty sure Huey wrote about some oddballs that he would meet outside of the bars he played at coming up.
Nice.
Well, that is so 80s.
That's good.
That's a fun sort of running song or something.
Yeah, yes.
It's just a happy song. Oh.
Ooh, what's he talking about here?
I guess the drunkards coming out of the pub, maybe?
God, it is so 80s, isn't it?
That throbbing synth thing. I was waiting to get to the chorus, but it's over a minute in. Here we go.
You really, really do.
It's the, maybe the most 80s song of all time.
It's pretty, yep. You really, really do.
All right, and then we finish with Honky Tonk Blues, which is just out of nowhere.
This is...
This finishes with... It's a great tune, and I think they do... Well, I mean, the review here says it. It goes, does little to advance the original, but is a nice place to showcase Hopper's piano playing skills.
Does little.
It's a great, I mean, it's a great song, and it's a fine cover.
Oh, I love that. Honky Tonk Blues.
But it just comes out of nowhere.
It does.
I guess that was maybe, and they're like, we needed a hit on this album. Maybe this is them going, if we have to, we'll go country. We'll do whatever.
Just give them something.
That's the piano. Love the piano over the 80s keys.
Yeah, it goes, what is this mash of mash?
So yeah, that's how they close out the album. And it's a, you know, strange, but I like the tune all the same. So it's a funny old album, but it is like it's
got a bit of 20th century about it. Throwback to Cold Chisels last season.
A bit of everything in there, but I mean, they set out to write an album with a big hit in it, and they achieved that. They wrote 5 out of 9 were hits.
Yeah.
And I assume they never really expected Honky Tonk Blues to be a hit. So really 5 out of 8 cracks at a hit, they achieved it, which is wild.
Not a bad bloody effort.
How about this to, before we start wrapping up, how about this to explain how big Huey was at the time? This is from the Rolling Stone article that was written when sports had its 30-year anniversary. So Huey Lewis was so famous in the mid-80s that when Pepsi signed Michael Jackson, I don't know if you know about that, Michael Jackson was like in Pepsi ads and stuff. I think he burned his hair in a Pepsi.
Oh, it was for a Pepsi commercial.
Yeah. But anyway, Coke felt they had little choice but to reach out to Huey. They had to play catch up, says Lewis, between bites from a club sandwich at Rolling Stone headquarters.
You do you, Huey.
They told me I had the largest Q score of anybody in America. I didn't know what that meant, but they told me it was based on likability, recognizability, credibility, and all that crap. They actually said to me, we think you have what we call cokeness.
No. Oh,
I had read that part, paragraph through. That's great. Coke offered him millions of dollars, but he turned them down. In retrospect, it was probably a mistake, he says. Could have been good for the career. Forget the money. Which makes sense.
I mean,
to be associated with Coke in the 80s, that
probably would have been large.
Good business. At the time, Lewis didn't seem to need much more attention. His 1983 LP Sports, they call it 83. So it was 83, 84. Spawned 5 massive hit singles. And in 1985, he appeared in Back to the Future and released the huge hit, The Power of Love, on the soundtrack. Probably should play a little bit of Power of Love for those. It's the song, if you know any Huey Lewis, that's the one you would know.
I reckon.
That's definitely the first one I would have ever heard.
I got another random fact for you after this.
This is a banger.
I reckon my
also
old...
Also super 80s, but also...
Oh, hella 80s. My old manager at a store I used to work at, this was his number one karaoke choice.
Oh, yeah. Great karaoke tune, I'm sure. Bam, never bam. Seen anyone attempt it. Not that I'm at karaoke all that often. Man, this fills me with nostalgia. More than anything we've listened to today, this just makes me feel like a kid.
It makes me, makes me feel young.
It's the power of love. And it's the opening scene of Back to the Future. I'm pretty sure it's played when he's skating behind a ute, Michael J. Fox.
Really?
Yeah. It's just the coming together. It's the perfect 80s moment. Michael J. Fox, Back to the Future, Huey Lewis and the News playing.
80s. Did we talk about Huey Lewis's feature in that?
No. I could, maybe I'll find out if I can just play it.
Yeah, while you do that, fun fact, more recently, Seth Rogen met with Huey Lewis to ask him to write a song for Pineapple Express, which he ended up doing, called Pineapple Express, I think. And they say he wanted a track reminiscent of Power of Love.
Ah, that's fun.
And then he wrote a song for one of the biggest stoner movies of the century. Not that we're that far in, we're only 20 years into it, but you know.
Clubhouse later.
Yeah,
why not? Bit of golf lingo there.
Nice.
Huey fans would love that. let's see. All right. I think I've got Michael J. Fox is auditioning to play the school dance with his band, the Pinheads.
Mm-hmm.
And the track they play is like a demo version of The Power of Love, which is actually Huey Lewis and the News' demo track with a bit of extra heavy guitar over the top of it.
Nice.
And then Huey says his famous line. He's dressed as a nerdy sort of headmaster or whatever, big glasses and whatnot. Anyway, this is how it goes. So that's Huey going next, please. You should link to the clip. Yeah.
All right. For the Pinheads.
Huey's great. It's a great performance. Very funny.
All right, fellas. I'm afraid you're just too darn loud.
I'm afraid you're just too darn loud. Fuck, that's funny.
Hughie.
That's great stuff. I don't care who you are. Yeah. That's comedy.
But it's Hugh.
Oh, Huey, you did it. The Power of Love. So he was asked to write a song for the film, and he's like, I don't know how to write a song for a film.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we're keen. Marty McFly, which is Michael J. Fox's character, he's a teen in this movie. If he had a favorite band, his favorite band would be Huey Lewis and the News.
Yeah.
So he goes, I'll just send you the next song I write.
Nice.
And that was the next song he wrote.
Oh, my God.
It was Power of Love. And he was like, I assume they probably won't use it because it's not a love film. There's not a strong love story in the film, but obviously they made it work.
Wow.
And it became a big hit. I saw a clip of him playing 5 years ago or something. It's just someone filming on their phone, and he's introing the song. He goes, when I wrote this in the mid-80s, I did not expect to be playing it every night for the rest of my life. Just talking about the critics being a bit rough on him, because he is they're sort of a bit of a whipping boy kind of band.
Oh.
And I think just because because I was young enough, I wasn't too cool for it or anything.
Mm.
And a lot, like, people a bit older are too cool for Huey Lewis and the News.
Is he like the Nickelback of the 80s?
I don't know if he's quite Nickelback. I'm not sure. Who I also am like, fuck, they're just a band. I don't find it weird when people hate Nickelback or whatever, like that's
part
of their personality.
It's like a full, it's a social expectation hate Nickelback.
I mean, why are we even talking about them? You know, if they were that bad,
they'd disappear.
Anyway, so he was asked about the critics. He was asked, did it piss you off that the mainstream critics were pretty tough on you? And he said, yeah, I'm a little bothered by it, but I worry, do I worry about it day and night? No. But it does rankle me a little bit. It does. We sold 10 million records and we were on the box all the time. I'd be sick of hearing us too after a certain point, which is, yeah. I mean, that.
God damn it. Not only is he so successful and good looking, he sounds like a funny bloke too.
He's really funny and charming. Jesus. He's got it all.
Yep.
he's the full package.
All of the News.
And he can really write a hit tune.
Which we're about here.
Well, do we want to give it a score? We're doing scores out of 80 this season.
Out of 80?
It's hard. The first one's always harder because what are you comparing it to?
Yeah, you're really setting a standard.
And I think all the albums we talk about are going to be entirely different from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, I mean, you got to mark it up. If you're into hit songs and 80s, I mean, this has got 80s up to its bloody eyeballs.
All right, so I'm gonna give it some good points because I knew four songs off of it.
Okay. Familiarity is...
Familiarity always helps.
Helps get points.
Then probably not so many points because there's maybe one or two songs that I wouldn't listen to. And then if you minus the one and add the...
It's a real algorithm you've got working on. All right. So what score have you come to here?
I'm gonna go a 45.
45.
That sounds good.
Yeah, old 45. All right. Yeah, I really don't know what to do here with this number. I think in terms of songs I like, I reckon You Crack Me Up is so fun. It's just such a fun 80s tune. I think I Want a New Jug is also great fun. I probably like the upbeat ones the most in Heart of Rock and Roll. Those sort of pop 80s pop rock fun time ones. And then they're, you know, the two big soul ones, If This Is It and Heart and Soul. I think it's all good stuff. Would have loved to have seen him live.
Yeah.
I probably should mention that a couple of years ago, Huey, our god, Huey Lewis, Huey Craig.
Huey Craig.
Clegg.
The third.
Clegg or Craig?
Craig.
Craig. He has been struck down with Meniere's disease, and that's it's basically it's an ear problem where he his hearing suffered a lot.
Oh.
But it also means that apparently listening to music just sounds like static to him. It's painful to listen to.
Oh, God.
And it can also affect the dizziness thing called? Vertigo.
In my head, I'm like vortex, Valero.
So it means he can't sing anymore.
Wow.
He's still hoping to get it to a level where he can, but
imagine
at this
making
stage,
your whole career on music and then not being able to have anything to do
so
with it,
tough.
Essentially.
So he...
That's insane.
He was getting ready to go out to perform, and it happened. He performed that night, and it was really rough, and he hasn't performed since.
Oh, my goodness. How long ago was that?
2018, so it's pretty recent.
Shit, a brick.
Yeah, so that's pretty sad stuff. I mean, he's still in the interviews. So he released the Weather album after that.
Mm.
I think they would have probably recorded more songs for it, but it just looked like it wasn't going to be possible. So they're like, let's get it out there. And I've listened to it. It's some good stuff.
Is it still 80s?
It's some pretty 80s stuff, but they've smoothed a lot of that out. And but yeah, it's got a lot of the stuff. If you like them, it's got a lot of that stuff in it still, but it's not, it's not as 80s sounding.
Nice.
So hopefully, I'd love to see him play. It would be a great amount of fun, I reckon. So yeah, I'm not sure what to give this score. I'm gonna say maybe I'll give it a 62.
Nice, good round number.
Yeah,
of no decimals.
It's good fun. I mean, Honky Tonk Blues is a great song, so it's fun to hear it. Anyway, I've just been listening a bit more Hank Williams recently.
Have you?
Funnily enough, I don't know what my standout track is. I think If This Is It is a great 80s pop song.
It's good.
I think that holds up maybe the most out of anything on this album.
I like The Heart of Rock and Roll. I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's a classic opener.
Yeah.
But Heart and Soul's been stuck in my head for a couple of days. Heart and Soul.
I think, yeah, I reckon Heart of Rock and Roll is a great album opener.
Yep.
The slow beat. I love how they played up with the heartbeat, and then it's just a fast-paced sort of freeway driving kind of rock song, pop song. So 62. I don't know. Nice. I like it. I like Huey. I like the News. It's just some of the production stuff is a bit harder, but I don't know. I'm into them. And the
no one's judging you. It's okay.
I love their vibe. Well, I'm trying to. I'm wary of being too rough on them at the same time.
I went for 45 and gave no explanation.
Great. is there anything else we wanted to talk about? I'm just trying to think. I had so many things I wanted to mention, and now I'm not sure. I mean, there's a pretty famous scene in American Psycho where the titular American Psycho gives them a review before killing some guy. I haven't seen it, but apparently it's a pretty famous scene.
You like Huey Lewis on the News?
They're okay.
Their early work was a little too new wave for my taste. But when Sports came out in 83, I think they really came into their own, commercially and artistically.
whole album has a clear, crisp sound and a new sheen of consummate professionalism that really gives the songs a big boost.
And I think he was into that as well.
That's fun.
Let's see.
Oh, and then him and... I did read that. Him and someone else recreated the scene on a... Oh, him and oh, Jimmy
Funny
Kimmel,
or,
maybe?
Funny or Die, maybe.
Yeah, they recreated
Great mates with them. Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, that one.
They go fly fishing together.
Oh, that's fun.
Maybe I'll finish with this little paragraph here. I haven't read it, so let's see what it is. The question from Rolling Stone says, the term yuppie rock has been applied to you over the years. How do you feel about that? And he writes, hip to be square was a joke that not everybody got. People thought it was an anthem for square people. That hurt us a bit. If I have any regrets, it's not writing that song in the third person. That's how I originally had it, but whatever. I'm mindful that I'm a very lucky guy. We're a lucky band. We play music for a living. We play music for a living! Exclamation mark. How good is that? I'm serious. We've done very well. My little band, we're pals. We come from Marin country. We made our own records and we have a career. We play and people show up. What's wrong with that? I mean, our 15 minutes of fame were a real 15 minutes. Now, you don't get 15 minutes. You get 3.5 or whatever. So it does sound like he's, you know, it's still, yeah, it does hurt how the, you can hear that it does maybe hurt a bit how people shit on him. And it is funny that the hip to be square thing, people didn't get the joke. So I think a lot of their lyrics are quite funny.
Yeah.
And you can tell that they're a funny band from the way they present themselves and
yeah, all the film everything. Clips.
They're like they're in on their own joke.
Yeah,
whereas people are like laughing at them. It's like no, they know that's the point.
It's with us, man.
Yeah,
it's with us.
Hey, yeah,
oh, yeah.
That would be frustrating, but whatever. All right, well, let's bloody boot this baby home. We don't have any letters yet because we haven't been putting episodes out. But if anyone wants to write in, where do they get to you, Sam?
Please email us at listennowpod@gmail.com or you can follow the podcast on socials at listennowpod. You can also follow me on Instagram where I post pictures of my dumbass cat at club.meow. And Matt, where can everyone find you?
I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Matt Stewart Comedy and on Twitter at MattStew_art.
Nice.
I've been posting some pictures of me in the bath.
They have popped up in my newsfeed.
Apologies for that. All right, well, I guess that leaves us with nothing else to say except for goodbye, Astrid.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at oseamalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.